Hello and welcome to the Big Fight, special edition of the Big Fight, because we are going to take a really close look at Jammu and Kashmir after what's been a rather tumultuous, interesting week. And then, of course, lots of activity today also. Amit Shah there, comments being made by BJP MLAs that have got a lot of people thinking, Twitter battles. Jammu and Kashmir very much in the center stage. We are, for once, in this course of this 1 hour, going to try and avoid a lot of the shouting and the screaming that normally seems to dominate all discussions over Jammu and Kashmir, and try and have a more sane and a more rational discussion around what the future actually holds. That alliance has broken now. The PDP and the BJP are separate. We are heading for a big election in 2019. Are all of these factors connected? Yes, as Ravi Shankar Prasad said, the number of terrorists who are being killed in Kashmir is going up. Is that a good sign or is that a bad sign? Should we be worried or should we not? Are we going to see a heightening of the pitch in Kashmir, a different security policy? Is this going to become a problem that will be resolved over the next year or 2 years? Or will it actually get worse as national politics actually takes center stage? Those are some of the questions we're going to try and resolve over the course of the Big Fight today. But before I do any of that, let's just quickly remind you of some of what's been happening just today. Not least, Amit Shah going to Jammu, having this to say.
अब मैं पूछना चाहता हूं कांग्रेस अध्यक्ष जी को, श्रीमान राहुल गांधी जी को, कि आपके विपक्ष के नेता के बयान को लश्कर-ए-तोयबा समर्थन कर रहा है। 21 प्रकार का फ्रीक्वेंसी मैचिंग लश्कर-ए-तोयबा और कांग्रेस के बीच में है। देश की जनता को जरा आप बता दीजिए, ये कौन सा रिश्ता है जो लश्कर-ए-तोयबा और गुलाम नबी आजाद के विचार एक समान हो जाते हैं?
If that particular speech is anything to go by, then you're getting a preview perhaps of what you are going to see at great length for the next 1 year in the run-up to 2019. What it actually means for Kashmir is, of course, a slightly different question. So I did get Nazir earlier in the day, Nazir Masoodi of NDTV's Nazir Masoodi, who's there and been closely following everything, of course, that's been happening in the valley for the last couple of decades. Got him to give his reaction on what he thinks the breakup means and also what the reaction on the street there has been in Srinagar.
Well, the breakup was inevitable and the coalition has actually fallen under its own weight. Let me talk to Raja Munib. What, according to you, led to this breakup? Many people were saying for many months this government will break because there were so many contradictions and absence of governance and lots of things, and people, it will not survive for long.
Well, from the start, if you see PDP campaign on keeping the BJP away, it was truly a North Pole and a South Pole, but as facts are, North and South Pole can never be together. Absence of governance, the complete governance breakdown was one, and then I think BJP played a master political stroke after Shujaat's killing, and they just called it off. It was on the cards for a very long time. There were rumors rife that either PDP or BJP, either of the one, is going to pull out of the government. Most of the people were saying it's going to happen after August, but BJP played a political card and they just got the government out of it.
Well, there have been...
Actually, Nazir has got other people with him also. Nazir, I'm going to come to the rest of them in just a couple of minutes, a little later in the program, to get more voices from Kashmir. But let me just welcome all the other guests that we've got with us, including Dr. Radha Kumar, a member, of course, of that JK Interlocutors group, which had gone there some time back. Whether those suggestions have at all been accepted, are we going to move forward, are we not going to move forward? It will be great to get your take on it. We have Major General Harsha Kakkar joining us from Lucknow. Afan Rizvi is joining us, social activist and writer from Srinagar. Gohar Rizvi is with us as well. Agar Rohila is joining us, spokesperson of the National Conference. Right here in the studio, we have Pawan Khera of the Congress Party, Vineet Goenka, former convener of the BJP IT cell. Mihir Sharma has written a rather scathing piece this morning on what seems to be very worrying prospects for Jammu and Kashmir. And Shekhar Gupta, of course, one of the top Kashmir experts, I have to say, that we have. So great to have a wide range of voices and people to help us really think through what lies ahead for Jammu and Kashmir. And we'll come back to Nazir in a minute. Dr. Radha Kumar Barund, I start with you. Let me just get your take on this. You know, you went there as an interlocutor. Your path was pretty much to say a security answer is not going to be the solution. You need to take specific steps. I'm not sure, Radhak, you can hear me, so maybe I'll come back to you when you can and get your take on it. Let me just come to the others who are there in Srinagar. Afan, your take, what do you think lies ahead? We've been seeing some of the rhetoric ever since that alliance broke up. What do you think lies ahead?
I personally feel that now all the political parties should stop the blame game, and they should collectively work together to bring back the normalcy. We have seen a lot of bloodshed in the past, and now we have to see to it that our future is peaceful.
So try and ensure a peaceful future. How best to, I think that's what everybody would want. How best to do it? Well, okay, we'll try and find some of the answers over the next hour. Gaur Rizvi, your take on the path ahead. What do you think is see happening now?
Unfortunately for the BJP, Kashmir is right now the laboratory for different experiments. With 2019 general elections around the corner, now there will be a lot of rhetoric and also, unfortunately, some bloodshed on the streets of Kashmir to showcase that as success against so-called extremist elements and to sell that as something of a success for the BJP. The regions are polarized. There is huge chasm between Jammu and the Kashmir Valley, not only on religious lines but also on regional lines. So I think now both will try to secure their respective constituencies. But in this game, the PDP has taken a big blow, because now not only PDP has lost people, but it has also lost power, and all the policies that were being talked about, are now there for everybody to see. In last 3 years, 600 militants, 350 civilians, and 200 armed forces personnel have been killed. More than 1,000 killings. But the apprehension on the streets of Kashmir is that there can be more killings, and that these are very, very difficult times for Kashmir. And that's why, although the breakup which happened, people on the street enjoyed it for different reasons in Jammu and in Kashmir, because people were very upset with the PDP on home turf, and similarly with the LOC cross, LOC shelling and skirmishes at the border. BJP was also losing its core constituency in areas like Akhnoor, Samba and the core belt, where they have the vote bank. So now, everything is being done to secure those political constituencies.
Okay. Gaur Gilani, thanks for that comment. I'm just going to come back to you in a couple of minutes. Vineet, let me just ask you. This seems to be the common perception, and Mihir and Shekhar can both weigh in also as political analysts and experts. The perception seems to be, it's going to be a tough policy that will be applied now in the valley, and the BJP will use that elsewhere. The BJP will also try very hard to anybody who says, well, let's try and take a softer approach to accuse them of being peacenakes, park lobby, peace lobby, or whatever you would like to call it. And we did see Amit Shah's speech also earlier today. Is that what we think is going to happen now? A really tough policy, at least till 2019.
I don't know which dictionary actually invented this word called as muscular policy or tough policy. When it is national security, there is nothing called as soft, tough, muscular. It's a single policy. Eliminate whosoever is a threat to the national security. And I have no qualm when they say we eliminated, or the military eliminated, terrorists who have come in. They are terrorists. They are not militia. Let us not elevate them as militia. They are just terrorists. They have cross-border people who came there with a nasiferous this thing. And as many numbers were eliminated, I'm happy that our boys in uniform did that. So A. B. My heart goes to the civilians who were damaged in that cross-border firing, or the uniform guys who we lost. But I'm not bothered about the terrorists who have come from that side. A. B. There is nothing called
but a softer. But the question is, of course, the question in the valley, of course, will be not the terrorists who were killed, but yes, there will be, as you said, civilians who were damaged. There were others who were killed.
So when civilians are killed anywhere in any part of the country, our heart beats and everything. We all civilized people will not like that our brothers would be hurt anywhere. Now, the utmost precaution was taken by the uniformed forces. But when there is unfortunate, when somebody comes in, and these civilians can be divided into two parts. A, who are unfortunately been killed because of ignorance, and B, maybe they are supporters. Now, who are unfortunately been killed, my heart goes for that. And that kind of damage should not happen. And I personally believe security forces take utmost care before they fire. Utmost care. And that's why we lose many of the boys in the uniform. That's why, you see that stone pelting happens and the insults which happen to the uniform guys. But good, the central government has taken a decision. And the last 3 days, what we have seen is, now this will not be taken lightly.
Okay. Before I come to you, Aga Ruhla, to get your sense on that, rather before we lose your line again, I just wanted to ask you, as an interlocutor who went to Kashmir and studied how a solution can be found, we've heard Vineet saying, if there are terrorists who are there, the terrorists need to be dealt with and the terrorists need to be killed, and that's just the way it is, which is the security and the law and order aspect of finding a solution to Kashmir. But there were other steps, and do you think we're going to be looking at the other steps in the next 1 year, or is it pretty much going to be now the law and order security forces approach, at least till the next general election?
You know, I hate to be pessimistic, but what I see is so very depressing, not just in terms of actions, but speech as well. And I find myself almost at a loss for words. The security situation has worsened day by day. You had a ceasefire, you were not willing to give it a chance to hold. Endless opportunities for talks have been let go. There is no political step that is being taken. And that can only mean that violence is going to increase. And when you look at the events of the last week alone, it has been one terrible crisis after another. Starting with Shujaat's death, and then the terrible way that the people are trying to politicize what is a crime. And then the breakup of the coalition, governor's rule, no clarity on whether there will be elections or there will not be elections. The only clarity appears to be people saying that we will take harder steps on security. Now, you've already seen what the effect of that has been. More and more youth joining militancy, more crowds coming out to impede conference.
Okay.
It'd be helpful.
All right, Radha, we get the gist of what you're saying, although we still struggle to get your audio off and on. Major General Harshakakkar, let me turn to you. You know, there's been a lot of debate in the last 4 or 5 days, and Vineet was saying, what exactly do you mean by muscular policy? And in any case, is the Indian Army going to be influenced in one way or the other by political considerations or others? What is your sense, though, as a as an Army person, is the solution really a law and order security force one, or do other things have to be kept in mind?
Firstly, as far as the Army is concerned, the manner in which it was operating prior to the ceasefire, during the ceasefire, and now, nothing will change. The major issue is the support and information flow from the police, which was affected by political considerations, will change. If you just recall the interview given by the DGP JNK Ved to the Indian Express about 2-3 days ago, where he made this remark himself, that every political party of the valley has its own considerations. Secondly, the message that it is conveying, that the government has said we will not go in for talks. We gave a chance for talks, but now we will move out. Now the impact of this will be that the NIA and ED, which were getting after the Hurriyat and were halted based on the hope of talks and possibly pressure from Mehbooba, will now be free to act, thereby reducing the flow of funds to support stone throwing. Let me take you back to when demonetization took place and the fund shortage came to the level that militant groups were forced to attack banks to collect money to be able to pay their cadres. So once you block the money chain, automatically the same thing will come. The army operations will continue. There will be no change. The intention will be to keep casualties as low as possible. And hopefully you're going to get far better input, so there will be better results.
Okay.
In the days to come. And we can afford to see a change in the scenario.
All right. The impact of demonetization on militancy or terrorism, it was stated as one of the major reasons. There's still something which is untested and to some extent unproven. I just want to get Shekhar and Mihir into the discussion before I come to to Pawan and some of the comments made by Congress leaders in the last couple of days, which you know, we have to put at him. Shekhar, your sense is this a major turning point in some way, or is this just something which had to happen? It was a marriage that had gone bad a long time back. There had to be a separation, and it doesn't signal anything more than that.
Well, a political ploy was tried. That political ploy has been given up. Beyond that, nothing has changed. Nothing will change. Operational situation in Kashmir will remain the same. There will be some propaganda saying, now we'll really go after them. But I do not believe that India's armed might has left anything unused in Kashmir. You know, you can't use the nukes in Kashmir. But right now, there'll be spin. So NSG is going to Kashmir.
You've written saying that Vajpayee would have done things differently.
Every time things got bad, he got the forces to bring them to a certain level of stability. He tried to initiate dialogue. This partnership, BJP, PDP, I am among the very few people who supported it. Very few people in the mainstream who supported it. Because for Kashmir to stay together, Hindu and Muslim political forces have to stay together. Because if this had not happened, then the last election verdict was a vote for partition of Kashmir. Do you really want to partition Kashmir? So this was a step. I thought it was an example of political sagacity. And I would wish that this had not ended in a way, political alliances break. This would not end in a way where now BJP will constantly be demonizing its own partner till 72 hours back.
Well, okay, but Mihir, that's almost exactly what you are fearing is going to happen. And look, there is a demonization that's been happening for a while. And some of our friends or colleagues in the media are perhaps to blame for that as much as anything else. Almost every evening on prime time, there is this screaming match which is taking place. You know, the word anti-national and traitors being thrown back and forth. It happens, and that does tend to vitiate the atmosphere. What you seem to be writing in right now is to say, it's actually going to get worse. This is going to become an occasion where communal wounds and scabs will be almost deliberately opened and gouged in the build-up to 2019. And you end your article today by saying that it's actually a rather anti-national thing to do.
Well, you know, the odd thing about this particular sort of political breakup in my mind is that I think it's very hard to make the case that it is in any way about Kashmiri security or Kashmiri politics. There really wasn't a breaking point right now, in a natural sense, for this coalition to go. But as you know, the BJP president's rally today has demonstrated, I think it's the first step in the crafting of a strategy, a political strategy for 2019, out in the elections in North and West India in particular. And that's a sort of very cynical way of dealing with something, a particular state that should not, for obvious historical reasons, be treated as just another sort of political, Kashmiri politics should be viewed with exceptional care by the mainstream parties because of the specific problems of the state.
And you cannot use it. That's exactly the reason they chose to tie up with the PDP. They were trying to do it as a step to bring unity.
Good
for them. It
didn't
work.
Good for them. It didn't look to us, to the outside world, like they were in it for any reason, out of a desire to stabilize it. And it definitely does not look from their behavior immediately after they've left that they are concerned in the least about the Kashmiri situation.
Okay, so you think it's going to get worse. Aga Dhula, I'm going to come to you, but before I do that, I want to ask Afan in one more time, because Afan, you've also written at great length about the fact that sometimes all of these evenings, these screaming matches over Kashmir on television and elsewhere, in your view, it's really fostered a sense of alienation.
Yeah, see, what we have seen is the offensive hashtags and the news flashes, they do create a lot of impact. They create an impact on the Kashmiris in Kashmir and on the Kashmiris which are living in mainland India. So I sincerely feel that people who are moderating those debates need to play a kind of a social responsibility and see how their TV debates are actually being portrayed here. What reactions are being done in the valley. It does affect a lot.
Okay, Gaur Gilani, you think it's going to get worse? Those emotions will be further raised? perhaps communalization will also be increased?
Yes,
and from both sides, by the way, it's not from one example, side alone. If you see what a lot of Kashmiri, young people are writing.
In Kashmir.
Sorry. It's coming from both sides, you know, in a sense that you also see a lot of very stuff coming in from young Kashmiris, which is also quite often deeply offensive. Maybe that's going to get worse as well.
See, I mean, you have to first see the responsibility. Where does the responsibility lie? Where is the editorial control? Where is the gatekeeping happening? And which has the organizational structure to conduct debates in a professional manner with an unbiased, taking views where you do not pollute the debate with your biases and prejudices. So that is point number one. When the anchors become fidayeen anchors and they become stenographers for the ruling party, and not do their job as journalists who have to ask tough questions of the powers that be and instead become their PR machinery. So that is problem number one. But I'm coming to the larger debate. The larger debate is that in these last 3 years, when the PDP and BJP stitched a coalition, partnership together, there has been, for the first time, the United Nations came up with a damning report, 49-page report, which talked about how armed forces have been indulged in unlawful killings and using excessive force. And they termed pellet firing shotguns as one of the most dangerous weapons used against civilians anywhere. And I think in any mature democracy, there should have been an intense debate on that report rather than this rejectionist attitude. Everything that has to do something about Kashmir is being rejected as if, be it the sentiment on the street, be it the stone on the street or a slogan or militancy. These are all symptoms. But what is the disease? Let's talk about the disease. The disease is the unresolved political dispute of Kashmir. And unless, no muscular policy, Kashmir has seen the era of Jagmohan, the civilian massacres from Bijbehara, Gaukadal to recent, pellet victimhood. But, we have to move beyond that and talk about the real issue that Kashmir is. Unless that happens, I think no forward movement can be, had.
I think it's certainly worth hearing.
This is the fear on the street also things are going to get worse for Kashmir.
It's certainly worth hearing as many opinions as possible, which is almost exactly what we are trying to do out here. Let's at least get all the opinions out and start a dialogue and a conversation. It's perhaps the only way to try and find some meeting ground. Agarola, you haven't spoken yet. Let me get you in. Your sense of what's happening on the ground right now. Well, obviously, the national conference went today and said you have to have a dissolution of the assembly. That means governor's rule. So you feel that governor's rule is obviously you feel that it's the best thing to do right now. But what next? Because given the situation, it's not very clear as to when elections can be held again. And even if the elections are held, whether you will not have a worsening of what Shekhar was saying, the divide between Jammu and Kashmir, more and more communal rhetoric, and perhaps another hung assembly.
There's a mammoth task ahead to answer the first part of your question. Our concerns are that the rumors of horse tradings, breaking the parties to get numbers, to form a coalition and to form a government, our apprehensions that we want to address can be answered only by dissolving the assembly and to set those apprehensions aside to rest. The governor's decision to dissolve the assembly would be the most welcome one. After that, the task lies with the governor, and he has a lot of mess to clear. Election is not our priority right now. What we see is the priority for us and should be the priority for the governor is to bring peace to the valley, bring back the normalcy to the valley, and stop this cycle of killings. But unfortunately, this governor's rule started on a negative note yesterday. We see this cycle only continuing, not ending. We expect from this governor's rule and from a governor who has a good reputation in the valley to put an end to this cycle of killing, bring back normalcy to the state and especially to the valley. Then we can think of the election process when the dust is settled,
so
the normalcy is back to the valley. And the citizens feel that they are of importance, as you just mentioned. In the other newsrooms, it's a soft war on Kashmiris. We are to be treated like we are to be told that you have to surrender to the whips of the security forces, no matter what they do, which should not be the case in a democracy. In a democracy, citizen is of a prime importance, not the institutions. Institutions are meant for the citizens. Where you see citizens are being killed, there you have to take side of the citizen. You keep claiming those sections of the media keep claiming that Kashmir and Kashmiris are integral part of India. When it came to the treatment, the actual treatment, they treat Kashmiris in general the second class citizens. That is the behavior of the other newsrooms, unfortunately, who are on a war with Kashmiris.
All right, I think we are hearing, I'm going to get Pawan in. So two things, I'm going to give you all some time to just a couple of minutes to think about this, because I'm going to come back to you with one question. I think everyone agrees that peace needs to return. We must have a return to peace. That's what everyone is aiming for. Return to the situation, which wasn't that long back. Radha Kumar is talking about how fast things have deteriorated. We keep coming to these cycles where it seems as if everything is sorted out. We almost seem to forget about Kashmir, and then it flares up again. So how can peace be restored? That essentially is the question. And there seem to be two attitudes to what can be done. Find some way of having dialogue, have communications, have conversations, assuming elections are off the table just for the immediate future. That's one way of doing it. The other is use the security forces to at least bring down terrorism, reduce the violence by bringing down the number of terrorists they actually are in the valley. And then after that, everything else can follow. So two possible approaches. Which is the right one? I'm going to go around everyone to get that answer. But Pawan, let me come to you. And you've been patiently waiting for a while here. I just wanted to ask you, the sort of comments that are now coming out from within the Congress party, we're looking at the political ramification of this. To have Congress leaders who are coming out, in a sense, echoing what General Musharraf said, or are the other comments being made about more civilians being killed than terrorists, you have to answer whether those are correct or wrong questions, whether the Congress party stands by them, and C, whether it is not politically perhaps the worst thing that you should be doing.
I feel like a persecuted minority. 30 minutes and I'm just asked to explain them some comments. So I'd also like to speak on other aspects.
I'll ask you about that
as
well, I promise. I'll try not persecuting you, at least on this show.
These are two independent comments. They cannot be equated. What Mr. Azad said is exactly what Mr. Goenka said. It's exactly what General Nanavati of the Northern Command had said. It's exactly what General Huda had said. No collateral damage. What is so wrong? I'm sure each one of us sitting here would say there should be no innocent civilian killed in police or army firing. What Mr. Azad said was very clear, that there should be a better coordination between police, CRPF and the army. Nothing wrong in that comment. Let them twist. In fact, the fact that they twisted that comment shows their mentality and what they are going to do before 2019. Kashmir is a laboratory of their polarizing narrative, and they have succeeded in that. There is a section of the media, which is Lashkare media, I call them, which engages Dineshwar Sharma, the interlocutor, came and requested the government of India, please call all the channel heads, ask them to go slow on this kind of a narrative. It's harming Kashmir. Guess what the government of India says in its magnanimity? No, we can't interfere with freedom of press. Imagine this government saying they cannot interfere with freedom of the press. That's an ironical comment. When it comes to Mr. Soz's comment, no, you asked me to explain the comments. Absolutely denounce his comments. We do not stand by any comment which says that Kashmir is not a part of India. Kashmir was and will remain an integral part of India, whatever Mr. Soz may have to say.
All right, fine. I'm going to not treat you as a persecuted minority. I'm going to come back to you right now and try and get the rest of the thing on how peace can be restored. But just very quickly, because this point has been made repeatedly on the course of this program, Shekhar, about the role of sections of the media to really fan a lot of divisions between Kashmiris and other Indians. And I think as somebody in between, many Kashmir watchers have been seeing, sometimes when you go into Kashmir, you also hear it from people. Why are you people saying this? Why are you people like this? Would you agree with that criticism?
Well, entirely. In fact, it's much worse than this. There's demonization of an entire population in the hope, one, that it gets you ratings because the other side is much more numerous, and second, because it pleases the establishment. There is very little thought as to the damage this is doing. The idea that you should be even tougher in Kashmir is a nonsensical idea, because Indian state, barring 11 months of VP Singh, which was a government supported by the BJP, no Indian government has ever been soft on Kashmir, every Indian government has used every weapon available to it in those needed in those circumstances, from the most diabolical intelligence work to every bunch of special forces in Kashmir. Maybe they haven't used a force as brutal as UP police yet, right? But if we leave that out, okay. You know, all special forces, not just the Army special forces, but Indian Air Force Garuds, Navy, Marine Commandos, NSC okay. all the time. So what else can we use in Kashmir?
Let's spend the rest of the time that we have on the show now somewhat productively. How can peace be restored? And Shekhar says, just being tough is not going to be the only answer.
I'm saying you can't be any tougher than you already have been.
Now, Ravi Shankar Prasad, for example, yesterday tweeted saying, you know, the number of terrorists killed in Kashmir has gone up. That's his tweet. He said the number of terrorists has gone up, and that's actually, you know, in some way, I guess, means that the government is having some effect. Actually, there were lots of responses to this, and perhaps one of the best ones was by Retributions, who came back and said that actually doesn't indicate anything because a lot more people were killed in the 1990s. Thousands of terrorists were being killed. It doesn't actually mean that the situation is any better than it is. Major General Kakkar, let me just come to you as I come round to everyone now to try and get your ideas on finding solutions. Killing terrorists, is that the best way to restore peace, or is that the starting point? According to you, what's the right way to do it?
Okay, let me just start by saying that what everyone has been saying, that the situation is getting worse, I would say no. Firstly, it is now going to start moving forward. One, there will be no political interference as far as police support is concerned. Secondly, decisions which the government was supposed to take and could not take. Let me give you a few examples. It could not finalize a surrender policy. It could not formalize a rehabilitation policy. Today, the status is everyone knows, including the J&K government CID report, that it is at the burials of militants, local militants, that you get more who join militancy. The present government under the governor can take firm decisions to prevent the burials from the houses and do it by security forces the way they do it for foreign militants. There are decisions to help reduce the tempo which a state government is restricted, which will now be available to be taken. So therefore, what will happen is the army will be able to bring down the level of militancy, bring down the temperatures in the valley, but it has to be the government which has to take a step forward. They have to have some method out of interaction. Dineshwar Sharma remains as the interlocutor. He is going to be meeting people. But beyond that, unless we have an answer, the fact is Pakistan is not going to stop its drama. It's going to continue with the same. So we have to look at a solution internally. Do we have a second rung if the Hurriyat is unwilling for talks? Do we need to create a second rung? We have to look forward now.
All right. So at least one thing which you're saying is there that, yeah, Pakistan, you know, for a long time it was said that the only way to get a solution in Kashmir or to try and get things better is to somehow figure out Pakistan. But you're right, something has to be done here. Vineet, let me just get you and then I'm going to come to Pawan. If, let's say it wasn't a BJP-PDP government, it was just the BJP government, what do you think is the way to try and restore peace?
Yeah, before I answer your question, you know, let us also see whether there were efforts to bring the normalcy back and what was then done. This is probably the best 3 years Jammu and Kashmir has seen. Because if you see in the last 10 years, 24,000... Let me come
on.
In
what way is it the best 3 years that Jammu and Kashmir
has seen? I'm giving you the figures. With all the faces here, I can give the figure. 10 years, Manmohan Singh Ji just gave 24,000 crore rupees. This was the first time when 80,000 crore rupees was given. I'll tell you.
Which way are you saying it's the best 3 years?
I'm giving you that. Just give me 30 seconds because I've been hearing everybody. So, if you see, Jammu and Kashmir is not only the valley which is there. It's 7% of the entire geography there. It's three part. So, the tunnels which were built to connect Ladakh to the mainland, the bridge which has been built over the Chenab River, there's the world's biggest, tallest river bridge
and
which has been built.
Your government made it, so, right?
No, no, sir. Let me complete. We are in very, very civilized
conversation. I'm asking whether your government made that bridge.
I'm going to speak, whatever provocations are there, I don't have any issue. So now if you see the connection of Ramban-Barihal section, then Ramban-Udhampur. Now, the money which was spent there, or the money which was spent on the ring road in the Srinagar, as well as the ring road in Jammu, will that not give development there? The construction of the railway so that goods produced there, yields in the agriculture, can reach the mainland. And if you see the cold storage containers which have been traveling now on that trains, will not give them a business reward. That will give them money. This is the first time this has begun. Agriculture growth has gone up to 8.37. This is the first time in independent India, in Kashmir, this has been gone up. If you see my details like Pashmina shawl, 500 crore, 50 crore rupees been pumped in to promote that Pashmina shawl so that the sisters sitting there.
So you're seeing a lot of development has happened in Kashmir.
Let me give you 3,000 toilets been built. Open defecation in a climate which is sub-zero plus terrorist. Do you think a sister should go out and sit in the streets to relieve herself? That has been given. 3.7 lakh gas connections. This is for the sister who is sitting in the house and suffering the militancy. Okay. Two more things. Reduction of interest for women entrepreneurs and zero stamp duty for females there. Now, this is what is going to promote business there, push economy there. And this is the first time when the government has done this. And this will continue. Medical colleges, there are two aims which were proposed. One in Jammu, another was in the valley. Third one, engineering colleges. Now, why these people have to go to stone throwing? Because they are not being given education. Now, this was pushed there. Now, all just, this Katra, sort of, Delhi Expressway.
I think that's
all
lead to this. That's a great list. That's a great list. But I'm just trying to. Let me just pause.
So just
you for
to,
a minute
I'll just take 10 seconds more.
I'm sure you will have that. I'm sure you'll have 10 other items there.
So I'll tell you, time to leave. We should also. I would request sensible channels like yours and anchors like you that while we talk about total number of extremists been killed, the terrorists been killed, we should also talk about what measures were done by the government. Whether it was my whether it was his party,
I completely agree.
Help us. It was not about the killing. And why should we shed tears on somebody trying to kill us for coming from Pakistan?
I don't think it's about terrorists being killed. The only question that I will now actually put to everyone here is whether that's really the solution. If development could sort out the problems of Jammu and Kashmir, it would have been sorted out 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. You're right. There's been a lot of development in the last 3 years.
1% of the population gets 10% of the central force.
Gaur Gilani was smiling while you were speaking. Gaur, why were you smiling?
No. My smile is, there's a reason, because if the government was doing so fine, why did they have to go for a breakup? That was the thought coming into my mind. If they were doing great work.
The problem is because Indian Asia many a times chooses to speak about which is not to be spoken.
No, you should ask him not.
We could have just talked about these tunnels.
Okay, one at a time. Go ahead, finish, then I'm going to come to everyone else. Go ahead.
Yeah, my point is, when everybody talks about peace, the word peace itself in Kashmir is very controversial, because people here think that only when a durable resolution will bring peace. As goes the verse by late Habib Jalib, Zulm rahe aur amn bhi ho, kya mumkin hai tum hi kaho. So, you have to talk about resolution first. Resolution will bring peace. And also, when militants were being killed, there's a CID report, parts of which were published in the Indian Express by Muzammil Jaleel, which said when 13 militants were killed in Shopian village, the next day 24 others had joined. And when people talk about that, these are uneducated people, there's a militant Manan Wani who's a PhD scholar. There is Junaid Sehrai, who holds a degree in MBA. He's a business postgraduate. And there are others who have been assistant professors. The point is that everything that is, you cannot demonize Kashmiris that they are doing this at the behest of somebody else and somebody is paying them for an opinion. Only when they cast a vote in assembly elections, only then they make their choice. Otherwise, whatever Kashmiris say or do is because it's at the behest of ISI or Pakistan. That is very insulting for any Kashmiri to hear.
My request to you would be, when you point out this kind of pains, also point out what developers have taken place. Like I said, 8,000 toilets. Will you deny that? Will not help the Kashmiris there or not. Okay, and I think that is a sincere effort taken by central government.
Okay, Vineet, let me just get the others inside, also to try and get their sense of it. Pavan Khera, if peace had to be restored, let's say there was to be if you had to do it, if you had to be the governor in Jammu and Kashmir, or the Congress Party was to be in power right now, what would you do? And I'm going to throw that same question to
Adhanis. Any conflict zone, there are two aspects. One is what the forces do, and they are doing a great job amidst extremely difficult circumstances. And the other is political processes. Now, we've seen polling percentage, Vikram, come down from 71% under UPA to 7% under this. Anantnag still doesn't have an MP because it could not have a by-election. This is unprecedented. So if this is the kind of political process my friend is boasting of, without a chief statistician hired by the government, they can come up with all this data. We won't even challenge them because we don't know the actual data. Forget that. What was the political process? Our question is, please start political processes. Don't polarize the rest of the country by showcasing Kashmir. Don't use Kashmir for your politics. Today, Amit Shah, what he did today in Jammu, shows what they are planning to do in 2019, in the run-up to 2019. That's our worry, and that's one thing. If we were there, okay, we wouldn't have done. We did not do it.
Okay, Aga Rohila, let's assume for something happens in the national conference, there's an election held in 1 month from now, national conference, government comes to power. What would you do to try and bring peace back? As I keep on saying, that's presumably what's on everyone's mind. How do we restore peace? How do we bring back the situation to even what it was not that long back?
I wouldn't say if national conference. I would say if anyone comes to power, the mess and the state of security and the situation that this state of Jammu and Kashmir right now is a mammoth task for anyone to clear. We have huge alienation, betrayal, communalization, which we never saw before, polarization. This combination that lasted a few days back pushed the generation of Kashmiris who are out on the street to walls. We have voices of people who are ISIS-inspired right now, if not ISIS active. Members in Kashmir. We had an encounter yesterday. Your DJP, if he is to be believed, the militants who got killed were inspired by ISIS, if not the active members of ISIS. So you can imagine by that, as I said the other day, we left the state in 2014 where you had 71% polling, you had everything in, the normalcy had come back. Even after the bad summer of 2010, we could manage to bring back peace to the valley, where you could witness a 71% percentage of polling. Now we have this mammoth task to deal with. It's a Herculean task for anyone who comes next. I wouldn't be hypothetical in answering your question. Whatever the next formation is, it's a very tough task ahead. We need sane voices. Statesmanship from the sections of society in New Delhi, the entire nation, and we need statesmanship in Kashmir to deal with this situation. Okay. We don't need a poll-oriented, vote-oriented approach from New Delhi. We need statesmen to address this issue so that we can address this issue with sane approach. Okay. This army approach, muscular approach, whatever you call it, has yielded you no results. Every militant killed multiplies the militancy with multiple numbers.
Okay.
You have more numbers of militants active today that you killed yesterday.
All right. Aga Rohila, we heard you. Let me just get Radha Kumar. I'm going to get then Shekhar and Mihir to weigh in on what they think the possible answers are. Radha Kumar, if you had to come out with another report today saying, step one, step two, step three to try and make the situation better, what would those three steps be?
Long-term or even medium-term steps, I would say the steps that we recommended in our report should be implemented. They should have been implemented in 2011. They should be implemented today. I would agree with all the points that Gauhar Jilani, Aga Rohila, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name, our young third friend from Kashmir.
Yeah.
I think they have all stressed very clearly things that can be done immediately. Immediately, you can start the dreadful labeling of all Kashmiris. You can allow a space for protest. All protest is legitimate in a democracy, so long as it does not take paths of violence. We have allowed that distinction to be blurred. That should stop. Threats to journalists, such as we have heard from this BJP MLA Lal Singh, should immediately be dealt with severely. The politicization of the Kashmir issue for electoral gain and purposes of electoral gain, as you rightly pointed out, will have an exponentially polarizing impact on the state, which we do not want because it will also lead to increase in violence.
Right.
Now, having said those things, the governor can do a lot to instill the need for human rights protections, which unfortunately have been vitiated. And he is a man who has previous experience on these issues. He has been a supporter of dialogue, and I'm sure he would encourage dialogue again. But that would require a readiness on the part of the central union government to engage in a political process. And I would hope that all parties in Kashmir, along with the governor, would stress that point to the union government. I would also hope that the Pakistan government takes steps to reduce cross-border violence and once again show their willingness to go back to the ceasefire conditions.
All right, Radha, but can I just, we need to make it the others who haven't spoken for a while.
Things of the party, so I can just...
Can I just get the others, then I'll try and come back to you. Meher, any of what she said is it likely to happen, you think, or what would be your own steps? Realistically, is any of this going to happen?
Realistically, not before 2019. I think it's sort of tragic. I think Vineet is right in a way that if we look at it, look at this at Kashmir purely from the point of view of as a security problem that has to be addressed, you know, by the army or by paramilitaries, we are getting part of the story wrong. If we look at it as just another state which can be won over by development, then we're also getting it, you know, wrong. There is a larger issue at play here. And the simple fact that we have hundreds of thousands of armed people in the valley to chase down, you know, according to the latest list, 300 militants, you know, this problem would be over tomorrow if the population was genuinely supportive.
Right.
So the frontier here is not a security frontier. The frontier is winning over the population again. And
right.
We have failed to do that.
And Shekhar, just to take that forward, we sometimes hear these comparisons being made about with the early 1990s. Situation is very different. The number of terrorists or militants you had in Jammu and Kashmir in the early 1990s were in the hundreds of thousands. I don't know how much what the numbers were. Now, as he says, maybe 300, 400. So comparing it with the 1990s is sometimes a bit misplaced.
No, I don't think there were hundreds of thousands of terrorists.
Like militants, supporters, whatever you can call them.
I would say supporters today are many more numerous than they were in the early 90s. Alienation level today is much deeper than in early 90s. Combat is less than early 90s. But that's also because lately Pakistan has not been able to push people through, or maybe because of their elections, they are taking a breather. But having said that, let me say again, you've never had a phase in Kashmir in the last 30 years when you had a non-muscular policy in terms of the armed forces. But a muscular policy doesn't have to be a brainless policy. You cannot say, you know, to say that I killed more terrorists, that means I'm doing very well, which means you just want dead bodies and please your electorate. If you're killing more terrorists, you know, it also means there are more terrorists. Ask any enforcement officer, he will tell you that if your drug seizures go up, it means drug consumption and drug smuggling is going up.
Okay, fine.
Not Vineet, going down.
Vineet, quick line from you. You were trying to say something that I'm trying to get everyone in.
I have only four lines. One, what the interlocutor said, the previous interlocutor said, that 2011 their report was not accepted. I don't know why the UPA government dumped it in the dustbin.
Fine.
I don't know if that was done, then there is no
therefore,
answer from BJP.
Therefore, I agree with you. Therefore.
B, let us break Jammu Kashmir's geography. There is Ladakh, there is Leh, there is Jammu, and only 7% is Tarai, the valley. So let's not say the disturbance in the entire Jammu Kashmir.
No, it's
only
been in the
7%. So that problem is only with the 7% of the geography which can be addressed like that. Not
but
as a 100% of Jammu Kashmir.
Population.
Number
is
three.
7%.
I'll come on that. That's the geography part. The third part is if we just get rid of three family businesses, the major problem gets rid of that. The Abdullah family's business, the Mufti family and the Gandhi family. The only problem was since 1947. These three families have been creating problems there.
There
was nothing else. You know.
What business? What family?
The 1952 Shyama Prasad Mukherjee opposed Nehru's policies and that has been shown right now. 1952 Nehru went wrong there.
I have 30 seconds.
You are obsessed with Nehru ji.
87 Murli
Manohar
Joshi pointed out what went wrong with that.
Vineet, can I?
All you have is a hammer. Everything looks like a nail to them.
Sir, it was
42% hike in terror related activities in the last 4 years. Last 4 years,
I was
interrupt.
I had almost got it to the last minute. I had almost got it to the last minute without the political shouting. Afan, I'm going to you. Afan, the youngest panelist we have. Can we please bring down the mics out here? Afan, the youngest panelist we have, Afan, let me just throw it to you. Let me get the last word from you.
Yeah, the thing is that we have to recognize the fact that Kashmir is a multi-layered conflict and there are multiple stakeholders. So if the dialogue has to be started, we have to start the dialogue with all the stakeholders. And hopefully, we will see peace very soon.
All right. Hopefully, we'll see peace very soon. Let's hope that your hope is correct and we will actually see it. Let's at least hope that politics doesn't really come into it. The question of Jammu and Kashmir has really been something which has been at the center of so many of our national and security dialogues for 70 years. Let's certainly hope that politics doesn't get into it and make the situation much worse, because if somehow we allow politics to affect the overall relations with Jammu and Kashmir and the rest of the country, I think that will be a tragedy. It will be, as Mihir said earlier this morning, almost something anti-national to do. That's it on this episode of The Big Fight. We'll be back next week.